I'm excited to preach this word to you. This is going to be kind of a part two. Last week was Resurrection Sunday, and I got into kind of an untraditional Resurrection Sunday sermon, just talking about how there was a conspiracy in our Bible to suppress the truth of Christ, wasn't there? And the Bible says that they said, let's pay these soldiers to lie and say that his body was stolen. But praise God that the lie didn't succeed, right? That lie is out there, right? Who's heard that lie before? He was just a man and all these other lies that float around about Jesus. But praise God that the lie couldn't work. There was just too much momentum. Jesus had made such an impact in these people's lives that they began to start churches, they began to spread the gospel around to their families and their communities, and here we are today, 2,000 years later, part of the family of God, because even though there were lies and there are lies today, the gospel is more powerful. Praise God that the power of the truth of the gospel is more powerful than any lie that the devil proposes. Amen. So I want to get into part two, because I believe that the Lord wants to boost your faith. Everybody say, he wants to boost my faith. Isn't it amazing that Jesus isn't just a God high above in the heavens, which he is to be worshiped, right? He is that God, but he's not just that God. He could be. Do you know that God doesn't need to be your friend? God doesn't have to be kind. There's a lot of demands we put on God. Do you ever realize that? Do you ever stop and think about the demands we put on him? Do you ever stop and think about how when people say, well, I could never worship a God like that? Isn't that amazing that little tiny ants like us can point our finger at God and say, well, I'm only going to worship him if he's the God I like. I'm only going to worship him if he does what I want. Isn't that amazing? It's just like a little baby that's screaming and crying, right, for mommy and daddy to give them what they want. And unless you give me what I want, you know, I'm going to be a little rebel. And I'm going to scream and I'm going to cry. Guess what mom and dad does? Guess what a good mom and dad does, right? Well, we're going to leave it at that because we all know, don't we? Whatever that situation is, mom and dad better be good about it. Praise God. They're going to deal with that child. They're not going to give that child, you know, every little whim and every little cry that they want. They're going to give them what's good for them and what's best for them. And sometimes that's punishment. Sometimes it's even punishment, isn't it? So praise God that he is so big, he's so powerful, he's so mighty, and he's still decided to come down to the earth and be our friends. He didn't just die for us. He's not just on a throne, but he's also, he said, now I call you friends, as he sat with the disciples at the Last Supper. And so I want you to look with me in the book of Luke, chapter 24. We're dealing with this issue that we're all going to face in your life. Maybe you're dealing with it right now, and it's doubt. It's when you don't understand. There's a time in your life, and maybe you struggle with it all the time, where you just don't understand what God is doing, and because of it, your faith is shaken. Who's ever had it happen where you didn't understand and your faith was shaken, right? We've all faced it. And sometimes your faith is so shaken that you've even tempted to walk away from God completely. And to be honest, many, 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 because of this particular issue, have left God. They got to a place where they didn't understand. Their faith was so shaken that they walked away from God completely. And I praise God. That's not my sermon today. Jesus is here to boost your faith. Praise God. He doesn't leave you in that place. If you'll have eyes to see, he's there to encourage you and have faith again. In the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 5, some of this we read last week, but I want to read just this part again. It says that the Marys, right? There were many Marys. Everybody say there were many Marys. That's a tongue twister. Right, there was a whole bunch of Marys here, as many as four different Marys. I guess that was the name back then. And so it says the women, these are the Marys, they were terrified and they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men here is actually the angels. It says the angels said, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? And they said, he isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember, I want you to read this out loud with me. Remember, everybody say it again. Remember. Now, what does the word remember mean? Right? It means something that you already know. If I told you, remember what I said, I would not be a good parent, right, to tell my child, remember I told you, unless I actually did. So if I say remember, that means I said it. So the angel says, remember, as in this has been said to you. It's something that should be known. See, many times, let's get right into this sermon. Why wait? Many times our faith is shaken because we forget. We forget all of the things that God has done in our lives. All the miracles. Come on, who can testify God's done miracles in your life? Maybe you didn't see Jesus walk on water, but you cannot explain how this or that thing happened in your life. You know, you were believing God in this area, believing God for this person, believing God for this thing, whatever it is, and God miraculously, in fact, sometimes it comes and you forget that you even prayed it, and then you have to look back and go, wow, actually, this is something I prayed for a long time ago, and look, God, you did it. But then as soon as something happens that we can't understand, we forget it all. Come on, we're all guilty of this. We just forget. We forget everything that he's done. We forget how big he is. We forget how merciful he is. We forget how gracious he is. We forget all the miracles, all the kindness, and suddenly, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand. And so the angel came with such an important message for us here today. Remember what he told you, because we are not standing 2,000 years ago at the moment of the cross like they are. But we are standing in a time which was also prophesied that we would come into hard times in the earth, come into tribulation times potentially. Maybe we're there. I don't know. I'm not saying we're in the tribulation, but those times are coming. That's what our Bible says. And then to keep our eyes on Christ, because he's coming again. And Peter said, in the future, people are going to say, oh, it's been so long. They've been saying that forever. He's not coming. And so we today actually are in the same exact position that they were in. Because what I want us to understand is that the same picture of Jesus really going into the grave and rising on the third day is the same exact thing you are living in today. Do you know? There is a mystery. There are many mysteries in the Bible. The Bible is a big mystery, isn't it? From cover to cover, the Bible is one big mystery, isn't it? Who looked at the Bible the first time and said, I don't understand this? Can you remember when you didn't understand? Right? Who would be honest and say, there's still a lot I don't understand, even though I understand a lot? Right? There's still so much I don't understand. There's a lot of mystery in God, but do you know that there is a great mystery that is unfolding right before our eyes? The Bible says a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. How many years has it been approximately since Jesus rose from the dead? He went to the cross 2,000 years ago. So let's just do the math. That's one day for 1,000. 2 days for 2,000, right? When does the third day start? Well, as soon as the 2,000 day years are over, 2 days are over, and the third day has begun. Whatever age you are actually in next year's year. I know that's weird, but we start at, right, when we're birthed, right, we're zero. But we're not really zero. We've been in the womb for 9 months, first of all. But second of all, when we hit one, we actually were not now one. We already were one. Now we're living our second year. You realize that? I know it's a mind bender. But so whatever age you are, you're actually living in next year's year. When the 2,000 years are over, the third day began. Listen, the Bible says early in the morning, early dawn. It says right here, verse 7. The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. This is what you need to remember. So he's telling them a memory, and I'm going to tell you a memory in a moment. The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. And then it says, then they remembered this, and they rushed back. We're going to get into this in a moment. Okay, so he rose again early dawn on the third day. When we hit the year 2000, you guys began the beginning of day three. Do you realize that? Spiritually, you are living in the same position that they were, which is he had been in the grave for 2 days and we hadn't seen him. Jesus is gone. You know, it's easy for us to say, oh, well, we know he rises from the dead because we have the story, right? But just put yourself in that position. For 2 days, their precious Lord was gone. They had wrapped him. These women wrapped him up and put him in that grave. For 2 days, he was dead. And there was no sign that he was coming back, except that he said it, but apparently our Bible's clear about it. They forgot. So for 2 days, they didn't see Jesus. He was gone. Yet everything that Jesus had said, everything he did was still there. Nothing had changed. All of their experiences, they can't be erased. You here today, sitting here, 2,000 years, the day began, the third day began, right? After 2,000 years, you are living in the same place. He's been gone for 2,000 years. He's been in the grave, so to speak. He's not been in the grave. He's been on the throne, praise God, right? But he's been in the unknown, in the unseen. Is anybody here? Did you guys ride in your car with Jesus in the flesh? I rode in him in spirit. I came here with him. I'm here to meet Jesus in this building today. But he didn't ride with me in the flesh, did he? Is anybody here? He's gone in the flesh. He wasn't gone then. He's not gone now. You get what I'm saying? But we have to choose. There's a message that I'm going to get into today that God gives them, that God's giving us here today, which is you don't see Jesus in the flesh, but it's the third day. Praise God, he's coming back. Come on. You don't see him. It's been 2 days. He's been in the grave, but it's the third morning, and he said, I would rise again on the third day. It's been 2,000 years, and many are going to say, oh, they've been saying that for 2,000 years, but Jesus is coming again because he said he would, and it's the third day. Praise God. I don't know when. I'm not setting dates, and I'm not saying, you know, because technically, you know, it's been 24 years. I'm not saying that we're 24 years late. I'm just saying we're in the same exact position that they were. He's been disappeared from the earth for 2 days, in God's time, that is, and it's the third day, and the earth is beginning to shake and show signs that it's ready for Jesus to come again. Amen. Wow. We're already preaching. Anybody getting anything out of that? It says, so they rushed back to the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. And it was verse 10, Mary Magdalene, and then here's the Marys, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. In verse 11, but the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. What story sounded like nonsense? Jesus rising from the dead. The stone being rolled away and Jesus coming out. Jesus meeting them. He met them there in the garden. And the Bible says that the women went and told the media. They went and they got on CNN and they told the world. No, that's not what it says. They didn't run to the Romans because what do the Romans care? This is a Jew, you know, this is not their God, not yet. They don't understand. They certainly don't understand what happened yet. They went to Jesus' 11 disciples that are left. Judas is no longer there. They went to the apostles. If anybody should have believed them, it should have been these 11. And even they thought it was nonsense. Even though Jesus said it. Even though, now I was doing a lot of meditating on this week. You have to, and we just read about it. We just read about it in our, we've been reading in Matthew in our Bible reading as a church. And I was just reading how even Judas was sent out. You guys realize that Judas was sent out and did miracles? Do you know that Judas was anointed by Jesus to do miracles? That's what our Bible says. It's right there. It's right in Matthew. That he anointed them, set them out. He said, I don't want you to take anything with you. I don't want any excuses. that you know that you were sustained by something from this earth. I want you to go and be sustained by me, by my power and by my spirit and in my name. Well, Judas, he cuts out early. He can't take it. I waited long enough for this Jesus, and sells him out. These 11, they stuck it out. We still believe. And suddenly, a moment comes that's so traumatic, it's so outside their understanding, that these 11 who walked with Jesus in the flesh for 3.5 years, I mean, you guys are, come on, let's just say it now. You know that God has given you amazing grace even more than the 11 disciples, that you have even more power and strength in you than the 11 disciples did because you believe and you didn't see him in the flesh. There's an extra boost of faith even that they had. What was Jesus? What was Jesus's his main theme with his disciples? The entire time he was with them, Jesus does many miracles and many messages. But what is the main message Jesus had to the disciples personally? He says it a lot. Have faith. Have faith. He doesn't really sit down with them and teach them to be good and to be good disciples. He shows them that. And he shows the society around. He shows them miracles. And he does many things that then they actually end up going and doing like he did after he's gone. But his main message for them personally was have faith. Believe. And here, Jesus, and you can hear him, he says, you still don't have faith yet? You still don't believe yet? These are the things that you hear Jesus saying to his disciples. And Jesus is he loves them. I'm not saying when he was upset with them, he was angry. You get what I'm saying? You can be upset and not angry. But he was upset that they didn't get it yet. You're going to have to believe. If you don't believe, this is not going to work. This thing's going to come down to you believing that God is God and he's powerful and mighty. And no matter what you see, no matter what you don't understand, God is bigger and beyond it. And the Bible says, it sounded like nonsense to them, to these people. However, it says, Peter jumped up and he ran to the tomb to look. Stooping in, he peered in and he saw the empty linen wrappings. And then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Peter was curious, but he was still wondering. The Bible says in verse 13, that same day, now we get to this really beautiful story. I don't want to go through every single part of it, but I'll just kind of breeze through it here. Jesus comes up on some of the followers. We don't know which men these were, but some of the followers of Jesus, and they're on their way to the village of Emmaus, and it's 7 miles from Jerusalem, it says in verse 13. But as they're walking, they're talking about what had happened. Jesus' death, the whole event, the cross, and they're trying to understand. They're just having this discussion. But the Bible says in verse 15, something amazing happens. Jesus shows up and starts walking with them. And it says that God kept them from recognizing him, and he starts asking them, what are you discussing? And it says there's sadness on their face. And then it says that, you know, how can you not know? How can you be the only person that doesn't know what just happened? And he says, verse 19, what things? Isn't Jesus amazing? What things? You think Jesus doesn't know what they're discussing? A lot of times God asks us questions because he's asking you to ask yourself a question. God's not really confused, not asking you a question. He wants you to consider something, wants you to get something here. And they say it's the things that happened to Jesus. They said he was a prophet, he did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher. And it says, but our leading priests and our religious leaders, they handed him over, and he was crucified. Verse 21, but we had hoped he was the Messiah. We had hoped he was the Messiah. I'm going to give you some information about him, just because apparently you're the only one that doesn't know. And they finish it with, we thought, maybe, this was maybe the guy. Maybe. This is such a beautiful story. I love it because I love where it's going. I know where it's going to get to in a moment. It says, this all happened just 3 days ago, but then some of the women from our group, they went there and they came back with this amazing report. His body's missing. Jesus is alive, the angel said. Verse 24, and some of our men ran out to see it, and his body was gone. Verse 25, then Jesus said to them, you foolish people. You know, Jesus, when he says you foolish people, is not, he's not making fun of them. He's not being mean to them. We're so weird about words today. You know what? We're so obsessed with word replacement today. I'm not going to get into them, but you're not allowed to say this word, but you can say this word. And then 5 years from now, that word's not appropriate anymore. Now we're going to say this word. But 10 years from now, those words aren't appropriate. So we just come up. It's the same thing we're saying, but with new words, and it sounds better, so we feel better. When Jesus said, you foolish people, a lot of people can think, man, Jesus, you know, I don't think a lot of preachers read this scripture to their congregation. They certainly don't read it to people on the street. You're trying to get people saved. You're such a fool. You foolish people. But don't get offended at Jesus. You know, sometimes Jesus is identifying a real issue, and we need to hear his words. There's a sharpness, but also a love. You know, the Bible says that he is the Word made flesh. Everybody say, Jesus is the Word made flesh. Well, what is the Word? Come on, the Bible tells us. It gives us a definition of the Word. It says it's a double-edged sword. We know that the double-edged sword means two things. It cuts on the way in and heals on the way out. So Jesus cuts, and then he heals. Praise God that he doesn't just cut you. Who's ever been cut by the Lord? And praise the Lord that he doesn't leave you there cut. He says, you fool, but then he doesn't leave you there. And so, but he says some more things first. He says, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. We don't know who these followers were, but the Bible says they were followers. I don't know if they were some of the 11 or if they weren't. Probably not based on the way the whole story goes, but these were followers that believed in Jesus. They knew all about it. They obviously were close enough to hear the report that about the tomb and about some of the men, Peter going. So they were close enough to the followers, to the disciples, that they knew the message immediately, because it says later that day. So they were already in. There's no news, there's no media, you know, where we can have things instantly. Back then, you know, might have taken a message a little while to get around town. But they knew by the end of that day, so these were some of his close followers, which means they probably saw Jesus do miracles. They probably heard his words as he spoke, confirming so many things, and yet they doubted. And Jesus said to them, you fools, you find it so hard to believe what was written. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Do you know what Jesus is doing? He's not actually judging them that they don't believe that he's alive, because they don't know he's alive yet. Come on. He's actually judging them based on them not believing what Jesus hasn't even done in their eyes yet, which is to fulfill the prophecy of coming back to life, the fullness of it. But he's fulfilled a portion of it in many, many ways, right? Isaiah 53 has now been fulfilled. And that's one of the things Jesus is referring to. And he's judging them that they don't believe just because it says it, even though they can't see what it means yet. Even though they can't understand its meaning, they can't deny that it was said, and now Jesus did it. You know, when Jesus does something in your life, the Bible says he'll do this, this, and that in your life, right? And then we get saved. We start following God. We start walking with his word, and we start walking with other believers, and God starts doing some of the things he promised he would do. Maybe a believer said in your life, God says this is what he's going to do in your life. This is what the word says. And then those things begin to happen. And then a traumatic moment happens in your life, something outside your understanding. And just like them, Jesus says to us in those moments, why won't you just believe what I said instead of judging the situation by what you feel right now or what you don't understand? Isn't the word powerful? The word is not old. This is not outdated. This is so relevant for us today, isn't it? Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And this is what I want you to hear today. Today's message is not just to make us feel dumb that we don't believe God sometimes. I want us to hear something. Jesus comes and finds you and boosts your faith when he sees you need it. And we're going to see that today. We've got a few more minutes of this sermon. We're going to see that that's what Jesus is doing here. Jesus really didn't come back to prove himself to his disciples. That wasn't his main purpose, not just to prove. If you need proof, then you don't have faith. That's what we talked about last week with Jesus dealing with Thomas. He said, okay, you finally believe me because you got to touch me and see me, but blessed are those who believe and they have not seen, right? That's you in this church. There's a blessing on you because you believe in him even though you haven't seen him. And I believe what the reason it's so important, you can see it in Romans 1. Romans 1, he's not referencing any scriptures. He's not talking about the world didn't believe I said this and the world didn't believe that I said. Romans 1 says, they didn't believe. They should have just known just by existing. Romans 1 says, you live in this earth. How can you be so foolish to not say I'm God? Come on. And so I believe that the Lord and what he's dealing with them here, who they had so much extra information. He judges, apparently in Romans 1, those that don't acknowledge him just by existing, but especially those that have heard, especially those that have been given the message. Now, don't say, and I know you don't in this church, but you know a lot of people turn this argument around and they go, well, it'd be better that I hadn't heard, because now apparently I'm going to be judged for not doing what it said, but if I didn't know it, then I'd be better off. And that's not true. Who wants to live a trap? This is what I started praying out during worship. You are not meant to live a trapped, in bondage life. How are you set free? Come on, it's not rocket science. How are we set free? You can say simply, yes, by Jesus, and that sounds nice. I mean, that is the truth. But what does that mean? How does Jesus set you free? Does he just do it? Some things, it seems like they just fall off of you, right? Some things, you just stop talking a certain way, stop thinking other certain ways. But who has found that's not most of the things in your Christian walk? Most of them, you've had to grind through them. I'm not saying it was you, but you had to deal with things. You had to overcome things. It wasn't by your own power. I'm not saying it was your strength, but the Lord helped you through it. But he had to deal with things, right? Praise God. And so by doing that, you've been set free. So we certainly wouldn't want to say, well, I don't want to know, because then he's going to judge me for knowing. Right? And I know that's not us, but it needed to be said. We need to know what it says, and then we need to believe what his word says. We need to come to the place where we just believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. We need to come to the place where we believe that I don't need to be trapped in this bondage. Christ said he came to set me free, and that means I'm free. And when, as soon as we get back into fear, we get back into worry, right? We get back into doubt. What we're saying without words is, I don't believe you. We're saying, I do, but I don't. It's clearly predicted. You clearly said it. But I think I need to see a little more evidence first before I'll believe you more. You know, the thing about Jesus is Jesus was not, he's not an evidence-based faith, is he? In fact, he did miracles and signs in their lives all the time. But once they pushed him in John 6, show us another sign. They weren't really looking for a sign. Now they're looking for proof. See, God does many miracles and many signs, but he doesn't do proof. Because proof is a test. It's me now becoming God. Come on. You prove yourself to me. God doesn't need to prove anything to you. He could say, you just believe me because I'm God and I don't need to do any miracles. I don't need to be nice to you either. I don't need to be kind to you. I don't need to go to the cross for you. He did all those things because of his grace and his mercy, and those things should be enough. We should never say, God, you need to prove yourself first. But meanwhile, come on, God does many miracles in our lives. And it's so disrespectful of us. I'm just point at me. I'll point at myself. Don't get offended. When I suddenly doubt and don't believe something I don't understand, now I question everything about God. I question my whole Christianity because I'm in this place just that I feel like God abandoned me. I feel like he's failed me. I feel like he should have done this, should have done that. Why'd you allow this? I don't understand the timeline. But suddenly now the cross is gone. The Holy Spirit coming and doing all these miracles and giving me a family and all these things he's done in my life. What, all that is nothing? And that's what Jesus is dealing with here when he comes back. He had been with these people just as he's been with us. He's been with us. And in fact, if he's not really showing up to them, if he's technically in the grave now, right? He's in the unseen for them. And he was in the grave when the angels told the Marys to believe. And here he's in the unseen. He's telling them to believe. It's the same for us. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. He's right there walking with us. And he's encouraging us, even though you don't see him there. Jesus is walking there beside you. Suddenly, your eyes are going to open and you're going to see he was with you all along. And that's what's about to happen. Isn't that amazing? But right now, before you see him with your eyes, before you see that he's been with you all along, you need to believe he's with you. Come on, you need to stop listening to the lie of Satan. This is a lie that's crept in to many hearts, and maybe it's in your heart right now. That God loves me, I know he loves me, but I don't know how close he is to me. I don't know that he's in this situation, or maybe he forgot my number when it comes to this, or whatever else. The doubt is in your life. Okay, I believe him, but is he really close to me? If he was, how could all this be happening in my life? It's so subtle, and yet I need to deal with this. That's how the devil works, with subtlety. You think the devil is going to come to a follower of Christ, to one of the 11, and one of those that saw God do miracles? You think he's going to come and just be like, God's not real? You're not going to listen to that. But what can happen is doubt begins to creep in and begins to grow. And begins to grow. And you know, mate, I don't know. I thought he was. That's what you start saying. We thought he was the Messiah. It certainly looked like it. I thought the word was true. I don't know anymore. I'm not sure. I'm still digging through it. And little by little, what's going to happen is that thing begins to grow because I've seen it. Come on, who has seen? It is so sad. I just mentioned it, but you have seen believers fall away because they let this train of thinking grow until they say, I just don't believe anymore. There's no basis for it. It's not based on, well, I don't believe because Jesus isn't Jesus. I just don't believe because I don't understand. Isn't the word powerful? So what happens is, this is so beautiful, Jesus walks him through the scriptures and reminds him again. You know how many times that I think we miss that the Lord's actually trying to get our attention? And you know, when somebody suddenly is like, I need to go to church today, right? That's happened many times in our lives. Or like, I should just go read my word. You know, I should call this person. Or that person says, I should call them and calls you. How many times has Jesus come into your story? He's not preaching the gospel to you. He's not trying to get you saved again. He's coming to boost your faith and remind you, it's going to be okay. I'm with you. And that's exactly, this is amazing. I love that Jesus is so kind that he comes to them and he still deals with them. He deals with an issue inside because it's important. He still says it's foolish. And don't find it so hard to believe me. He's still dealing with a heart issue. But then he's kind enough to walk them through the scriptures to encourage them and say, believe again. Believe, still believe. So before I show you, I'm about to show you it's me. But I want you to believe because you believe, not because you see. Can you believe Jesus before he ever does the miracle? Can you decide today that before he ever answers my prayer, I believe him? Can you do that? Because when I read through my word, it's very rare that Jesus says, let me do a miracle for you and show you a magic trick so you believe me. Because the same people, they said, we just talked about this last week, in order for them to pay the guards to put Jesus' story into confusion and say they stole him means they believe the story. Why pay the guards? Why pay the guards to say a lie unless they knew the truth? That means that the truth and having proof is not enough. A sign, Jesus said, a wicked generation asked for a sign. Jesus had been doing miracles. And the same exact crowd in John 6 that Jesus is dealing with, he had just fed the 5,000. It's the same group. And now they're saying, show us another sign. We just want proof. I just want proof. You got to have to prove yourself to me. I know it doesn't sound like it, but just step back and see how arrogant it is and that you're becoming God. You have to prove yourself to me. He doesn't have to prove himself to anybody. Just believe because I am. Just believe because of my love, because of what I've done for you. Just believe because I said that I love you. Believe that I love you because I said it before I ever show you any love. And in the same way, believe I'm coming again just because I said it. You don't need to see an eclipse tomorrow. We're going to see an eclipse, right? But we don't need to see that to believe that Jesus is still over America. We don't need to see it to believe that Jesus is coming back again. Although there's many signs, aren't there? Maybe this is one of those signs. I don't know. There's lots of signs. But are you going to believe just because he said it? Just because the word says it? And I believe there's lots of reminders along the way. It's not taking away the text. Come on, Jesus is, it's not taking away the gospel. He's just coming to remind them and encourage them. Believe what I already said to you. Praise God. Anybody getting anything out of this? Hopefully I'm not beating this thing up too much. That it says, so by the time they were nearing Emmaus, the end of their journey, they say, come on, stay with us. They just think he's a guy, and this was Jewish culture. Come stay with us, we'll feed you. And so, and especially these were good men, these were believers. And so they bring him in, and the Bible says this is so beautiful. As soon as he broke the bread and he blessed it and he gave it to them, suddenly their eyes were open. Isn't that beautiful? Just like he did at the Last Supper. Suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment he disappeared. And verse 32 says, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Do you know that this is a road to Emmaus right here in this church, right now, in this room? Do you know you're on the road to Emmaus? Because none of you saw the miracles of Jesus being done in the flesh. All of you are going now by memory of what was said. And now we either have to just choose to believe until we see right now. The Bible says, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Which means they had not seen it was Jesus yet, but the word itself should burn in your heart. The word is powerful enough to be proof enough. I don't want to use that word, like I said, because I don't like, he doesn't need to prove, but if you need proof, the word's proof. Come on. The word of God is proof. This is not a sermon for me to try to convince you the Bible is real. But we could sit here now for the rest of the day and go through all of the ways that this book was put together and sustained for all these years, and that we're talking from it right now. And for years and years and years, they said, oh, it's been mistranslated. You can't trust this. And it's gotten in human hands, and they messed it up. And then they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, which I mentioned last week. And when they found them, they found the book of Isaiah was there. That was the one that really sold it. It was almost word for word to this day. And that was 400 years before Christ that this copy of Isaiah had been preserved in the Dead Sea Scrolls. 2,400 years ago, Isaiah was written, and it's the same exact Isaiah you have now. I'm not here to convince you, but that is something that gets us exciting, isn't it? It gets us excited. It's exciting to see that and hear that. I don't need science to prove. I don't need signs to prove it. I don't need the stars in the heavens, but they certainly do, don't they? God uses all these things. In your life, God is proving himself every single day. And I think we're saying, well, just show me, just give me some proof. He's like, I've given you so many miracles. I've done so many things. I've preserved my word. I've been with you every step of the way. Stop asking me for proof. You're not going to see it. Because those that had proof, you know what happens? The person that seeks proof also pays for the lie. Come on. Those that got proof, the guards came back. We have proof. Okay, I want the lie. I'd rather the lie. Jesus is walking right through the same streets, and they said, you're the prince of demons. In the same street that Jesus is doing miracles, some are calling him the prince of demons, and others are saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. You know what it came down to? It came down to a spiritual place. It's not a physical thing. It's not an eyes thing. I had so much more that I could get into here, but it's not an eyes thing. It's not a perception thing. It's not something that you just see and you feel, but something in your spirit that you know, this Jesus. We have to be okay with that. You know, this world has become such a proof-based world. And I attack evolution a lot because it is like it's one of the core religious pillars to our society today. And I call it religious on purpose because it is a religion. Because it's not science. They have zero proof. Talk about proof, there's zero proof. All that evolution does is it's a theory that proves itself. Their evidence is based on their assumptions, and I'm not going to get into all that. But what they say, then they find evidence of what they said, but that's all that they're doing is finding evidence of what they said, not evidence that it's real. And I attack it a lot because this religious pillar, it creeps in and it tries to teach you that we can find proof for everything, so God can't be real because we can't find proof for him. Meanwhile, they're lying to you the whole time. They have no proof of their false religion. Zero proof of their false religion. It takes much more faith that nothing made nothing than it does for me to believe that God made nothing into something. Praise God. That's a lot easier for me to believe. But with that said, again, I'm not here to try to defend God against evolution. What I'd like us to see is you are still trained, you still live in the society, even though we don't believe in evolution, we choose to believe in God's creation. You're still living in a society that is proof-based. They think they know everything about everything, and we actually know nothing about everything. We know more about space than we do about our own ocean on this planet. That is scientific. Who knows that? Come on. That's well known. We don't really know what's going on down under the seas. We're learning. Which means we really don't know. Which means we really don't. We're not a proof-based society. We're a faith-based society. They've just got their faith in the wrong faith. They have their faith in the wrong God. And my point to this is this. If you talk to somebody who believes in everything that society tells them, they really don't say, well, this, this, and that, do they? They just say, well, this person said, that person said, come on, I'm being real now. Maybe you're listening on the podcast. Who sits down with you and rattles off their evidence that they found? Come on. Nobody does. They say, I believe the scientists. I believe the doctors. Right? I believe the researchers. Everybody, let's be honest, is quoting what somebody else says is the truth. Which means you need to come to the place where you believe Jesus just because it was written. Just because it was said. Because whether you think it or not, you're believing stuff that other people have told you. You may think, I'm a free thinker. Everything I think is my own. I'll sit with you and I will point you to an entire group. I bet you I could find a million people. Get on Reddit, and I guarantee you think your thinking is very particular. I think this, and you know, we're really squids and we came from Mars, and there's a million people just like you. You think you're free thinking, where everybody's just like themselves, and we can't just listen to what everybody else has said, and we can't just come up with truth that we think is truth. But what Jesus was challenging them, and I love that what he's doing in this church is meeting us on the road to Emmaus and saying the same thing he said to them. It was clearly predicted. It was clearly said. And I know you don't understand what's happening right now, but just believe because I said it. And now, as we close, let me bring that right into your situation. Whatever is going on in your life right now, can you take that thing that's in your life, whatever it is, whatever you're believing for, whatever you're stuck, whatever that thing is that you just can't get free of, can you believe God today? The same way that society trusts scientists and trusts people to tell them all kinds of things, can we believe that God is real and that he will really set us free? That he really went to the cross for us and that we really rose from the dead with him? That he loves us and cares for us and never ever leaves us and he's right here in this room with us? Will we believe him because he said it before we see it? Praise the Lord. We're going to close with this. Lord, we thank you and praise you, give you glory, and I give you honor. I thank you for this word. And I pray, Lord, that you put it down deep in our hearts. I pray this word would be like good seed and good ground, Lord, and it would grow and produce fruit in us. I pray that we would know, Lord, we would know that you are who said you are because you said it. And Lord, that knowing is enough, that we know in our gut, and that's enough. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.